Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're plunging into one of the most distinctive doctrines in American religious history, the Latter-day Saint Health Code. You probably know it as the Word of Wisdom.
Probably Wado, yeah.
Exactly. And this is the rule where, you know, drinking a hot chocolate is totally fine, but drinking an iced tea could actually stop you from going to the temple.
It's a huge contradiction. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's exactly what we're digging into here. This isn't just about coffee or tea. We're looking at the sources, historical essays, firsthand accounts, church documents.
Right.
To really trace how this revelation from Joseph Smith in 1833, how it went from being just a mild suggestion to a mandatory identity-defining rule almost a century later.
So our mission for you is to lay out the context, the contradictions, and the, well, the historical reality behind why the rules are the way they are today, especially where they seem to break so sharply from that original 1833 text.
And to understand the Word of Wisdom, you absolutely have to understand the decade it came from. So we have to rewind to the 1830s, which was really the peak of the temperance movement.
And it's hard to overstate how central alcohol was to life back then, right? I mean, water was often unsafe, so people were drinking alcohol constantly.
Oh, constantly. With breakfast, at work, in the evening, alcoholism was a massive social crisis.
So the public debate was already raging.
It was intense. Reformers were pushing for people to give up hard liquor, but that quickly expanded to all alcohol, tobacco, and sometimes even coffee.
So when Joseph Smith introduces Doctrine and Covenants, section 89, the ideas in it are already, they're already in the air.
Completely. This was not some out-of-the-blue council. We have sources like the Journal of Health, which started publishing in 1830. And if you read it, you find all this advice about avoiding strong drinks, eating wholesome herbs.
So pretty much everything that's in the Word of Wisdom.
Almost every single concept. It really suggests Joseph Smith was pulling from these surrounding ideas and sort of repurposing them into a theological framework.
Well, what was the immediate trigger? I mean, it wasn't just this general health movement. It was something much more specific.
It was incredibly specific and frankly pre-domestic. It all started in the School of the Prophets in Kirtland. This was where the church elders would meet to discuss scripture.
But these guys were heavy tobacco users.
Very heavy. Chewing it, smoking it, and just spitting it all over the floor while they studied.
And who had to clean that up?
That would be Joseph's wife, Emma Smith. You can just imagine the scene, a small smoke-filled room, tobacco juice stains everywhere. She got fed up. The sources say she complained that it would be a good thing if there was a revelation declaring the use of tobacco a sin.
So it's born from a very practical cleaning problem. But there's that other little anecdote, the counter dig part.
Right. This comes from an account by David Whitmer. And he suggests that when the tobacco ban was brought up, one of the men joked that the revelation should also ban tea and coffee.
As a counter dig at the sisters.
Exactly. The idea being if the men have to give up their vice, then the women should have to give up theirs.
And what's amazing is that the revelation appears the very next day. And it happens to solve the tobacco mess, but it also includes this ban on hot drinks, which at the time meant tea and coffee.
It wrapped everything up in one neat package. The public health concerns, Emma's cleaning problem, and even the little joke between the men.
But this context brings up a really critical point about divine foresight. If this was a health code for the last days, why is it so stuck in the science of 1833?
Because it completely lacks any real foresight. I mean, you read the text, it says nothing about boiling water or basic hand washing.
And the timing of that omission is just, it's devastating.
It really is. A huge cholera outbreak swept through the area the very next year. Over 60 church members got sick and more than a dozen of them died. They had a health code from God, but it was missing the single most important piece of information that could have saved their lives right then.
That is a stark inconsistency. So if that's the origin, let's look at how the early church actually used this advice, because it was definitely not the strict rule we know today.
Not at all. The first clue is right there in the text. It explicitly says it's to be sent by greeting, not by commandment or constraint.
So advice, a suggestion.
Exactly. And on alcohol, its main target, it makes a distinction that's totally ignored today. It warns against strong drinks, but says barley is for mild drinks.
And barley is the main ingredient in beer.
Beer, the text basically says beer is okay. This fit perfectly with the moderate side of the temperance movement, which was only against hard liquor.
And the leaders, including Joseph Smith, they just kept drinking, didn't they?
They did. We have that confirmed account of Joseph Smith drinking wine on the day he was killed in 1844. It just wasn't seen as a sin.
In fact, alcohol was sometimes central to their spiritual experiences. Tell us about the Kirtland Temple visions.
Yeah, this is a sharp contrast with today. Many of the biggest visionary experiences in Kirtland happened after members had fasted all day. And then, to cap off the evening, they'd drink a good amount of wine.
Wait, so the sources are clear on this. They were using alcohol to help induce spiritual experiences 3 years after the word of wisdom was given.
That's what the historical accounts show.
Yeah.
In fact, things apparently got so wild, with so many people having visions, that Joseph Smith eventually had to clamp down on the church for having too many visionary experiences. So clearly, no strict temperance code.
But then the story takes a turn, right? This is where we get into what looks like intentional deception. The history wasn't just forgotten, it was actively changed.
We're talking about the journal entry from June 1st, 1844. Joseph Smith's original journal says very clearly, "Drank a glass of beer at Moser's."
A simple factual statement showing he drank beer more than a decade after the revelation.
Precisely. But when the church published his journal in 1902, which is right when the push for stricter rules was starting, they just deleted that phrase.
They cut it out.
Just took it right out. It was a clear editorial choice to hide the fact that the founder of the faith didn't live by the standard they were now trying to enforce.
So they were trying to protect the new institutional rule, not the original revelation.
It was all about shaping a new narrative for the 20th century church. And you can still see the fallout from these inconsistencies in the rules today. They're just arbitrary.
Okay, let's talk about hot drinks. Today, that means no coffee, no tea. But hot chocolate is fine. Hot soup is fine.
And it's not about temperature, because iced coffee and iced tea are also banned. But the biggest contradiction is caffeine.
Right.
The church is fine with members drinking Coke, Dr. Pepper, even Monster Energy drinks, which are loaded with caffeine. But a cup of coffee, which actually has proven health benefits, is forbidden.
So the rule isn't about temperature or caffeine. It's literally just about coffee and tea.
It only applies to the specific hot drinks from 1833, even though the whole context has changed.
And what about the other parts of the text? The parts about diet that everyone seems to forget.
Right. The WOW says meat should be eaten sparingly and only in winter or famine. That part is almost universally ignored. At the same time, it says all herbs are for our use with prudence. You could argue that allows for the prudent use of something like medicinal cannabis, but that's ignored too.
So we have the suggestion from the 1830s that early leaders didn't really follow, whose history was later edited. When did it actually become the mandatory commandment it is today?
That shift took almost 90 years. For decades, it was hit or miss. It didn't officially become a requirement for a temple recommend, the ticket for full participation in the church, until 1919.
And that timing, 1919, is so important, isn't it?
It is the key to the whole thing. The shift to strict enforcement happened at almost the exact same time as the national push for prohibition in the U.S.
And it also came after the church officially ended polygamy in 1904.
Exactly. The church had just lost its main identity marker, the thing that made them a peculiar people. It couldn't be the polygamous church anymore.
So the word of wisdom became the new boundary line. A new way to define who was in and who was out.
It became a new rallying cry. It shifted from being a law of health to being a law of obedience. And modern church leaders are quite open about that. Boyd K. Packer said its purpose isn't really about physical health. It's about teaching members to control their appetites and submit to the institution.
So today, it functions almost entirely as a test of obedience. If you don't comply, you don't get a temple recommend. You're cut off from the most sacred parts of the religion.
And that compliance is sometimes enforced with some really intense emotional pressure. The sources give examples of leaders linking a single cup of coffee to losing your eternal salvation and that of your children for generations.
That is just extreme pressure over a rule that wasn't even a commandment to begin with.
Which brings us to the really painful inconsistency for people today. An investigator looking into the church, who maybe drinks coffee for its health benefits, can be denied baptism over a rule that the church's own founder didn't follow, and whose history was literally altered to hide that fact.
So when you pull it all apart, what do you see?
The word of wisdom is just a perfect example of a doctrine molded almost entirely by outside social and historical pressures. The temperance movement in the 1830s, the prohibition movement in 1919, rather than by some kind of consistent divine foresight, its current form is just. It's scientifically and logically inconsistent.
So for you listening, you now have the full picture. Why the WOWBIBU was created, how it was ignored by early leaders, how the history was changed, and then how it was co-opted as a mandatory test of obedience when the church needed a new way to define itself in the 20th century.
And we'll leave you with this final thought to consider. If the word of wisdom is a revelation from God for the health of people in the last days, why has no modern prophet given us an update? A new section of scripture warning against things we now know are incredibly harmful, like refined sugars, saturated fats, hydrogenated oils, while still forbidding healthy things like coffee and tea.